Thank you, Mr. McNamee. Good afternoon, everyone. Today, as I'm sure you're aware, a large portion of the world is celebrating Christmas. And at this time of year, perhaps for a few weeks before or even after today, we who don't celebrate Christmas often have to deal with the somewhat awkward situations or conversations involving people who do. We have to respond to various seasonal greetings or questions. My father-in-law, according to my wife and her brother, came up with his own unique kind of universal response. Apparently, he frequently had to deal with people wishing him a Merry Christmas, maybe because it commonly came as he was leaving the office at work and his coworkers sent out the greeting as he left the office. So his universal response became, drive safely. When they'd say, goodbye, Cal, his name was Calvin, goodbye, Cal, Merry Christmas, drive safely. Apparently, he used this in all of his Christmas greeting situations. My wife says that going through the checkout line at the grocery store, and the clerk wished him a Merry Christmas, his response was still, drive safely. A couple of years after I started my career as a school teacher, that I started attending church, and as a result, had to deal with these situations, these awkward kind of Christmas situation. I wasn't very well prepared. Hadn't met my father-in-law yet, so I didn't know about his solution, not that I would have used it. Besides, for me, the issue was more the questions that I encountered, usually from my students. You ready for Christmas, Mr. Hansen? Well, didn't expect that. I'm as ready as I'll ever be. And maybe you've used something like that yourself. I don't know. Have you got all your Christmas shopping done? As much as I'm going to do. But then I have to deal with it after the holidays, too. You know, you come back to school after the holiday break. And do you have a good Christmas, Mr. Hansen? Well, I enjoyed the break, you know, and we kind of left it at that. And looking back, these were rather timid answers, although they did tend to squelch any further Christmas questions and conversation, which is what I really wanted, I guess. Eventually, though, I realized I wasn't being completely honest. I was being technically truthful, but actually hiding the fact that I didn't celebrate Christmas. I got to thinking that if they knew this, maybe they'd think I was ashamed of the fact that I didn't celebrate Christmas. So at some point, I noticed a guilt-inducing scripture, Luke 9:26, which we could turn there. Luke 9:26. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 23, Luke 9:23, where Jesus is talking about what it takes to be one of his followers. Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? And here we go, verse 26. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, or my instruction even, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So by dodging the Christmas questions, or giving some non-answer really, I wondered if it could appear that I was ashamed of the fact that I didn't celebrate Christmas. So I started being more direct. And I'd say, I don't celebrate Christmas. You know, they'd ask, you know, and, you know, what am I going to do for Christmas or that sort of thing. And I was more direct. But I'd frequently get the response of, well, what are you an atheist? Or are you a Muslim? Are you Jewish? Or, you know, and since I didn't really give any explanations, probably still caused some confusion. And I'm not sure why I didn't say it before, but I then made a point of saying, I'm a Christian who doesn't celebrate Christmas. And I probably should have been saying that all along. I'm a Christian who doesn't celebrate Christmas. Sometimes there might be a follow-up question, and I'd still have to say, well, no, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. But usually the response was, oh, that's cool, and the conversation ended there. However, 3 years ago, I had an experience that made me realize that I still needed to be a little better prepared to give an answer to some of the follow-up questions related to Christmas. It happened at the Salem YMCA. For a number of years, I'd been taking part in their early morning exercise classes. And in doing so, I met and got to know a number of the people who attended some of these classes. One of them was Father Mack. Actually, that's not his real name, but I've changed it a little, just keep him anonymous, hide his identity, I guess, although if he were listening to this, he'd know who I was talking about. I just called him Mack, although almost everybody else called him Father Mack. He was a semi-retired Catholic priest. Really nice guy. Very pleasant, very friendly, very conversational. Reminded me a little bit of an older version of Father Mulcahy, if you watch the old MASH programs. Since we used lockers close to each other in the locker room, we frequently had some brief conversations. Some of them might have been a little longer conversations, except this time I was retired from teaching, although I was still substitute teaching on a pretty regular basis, and I usually had to get done with my workout and then go off to a substituting assignment. So anyway, 3 years ago, it was the week before Christmas, and we were by our lockers, and Mac asks me, well, Bruce, are you all set for Christmas? And I told them, well, my wife and I are Christians who don't celebrate Christmas. And he was shocked. His mouth dropped open, his eyes went wide, and you're Christians? And you don't celebrate Christmas? I've got to hear the explanation for this one. And I was a little unprepared, yeah. Well, basically, and as close I remember, that basically because there's no biblical foundation for it, and all the evidence points to the fact that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, and then there's the fact that Christmas involves a lot of non-Christian origins and paganism, or I can't remember exactly what I said. But before I could say anything else, he interrupted me. He says, I'm well aware of all that, and I'm aware of all the paganism tied into Christmas. But I just think, Christmas, what a wonderful way of taking pagan customs and turning them into something Christian. I didn't say it, and I don't usually come up with cleverly worded comebacks, and I did think it, though, and it would have been kind of clever, but I thought, Christmas, what a wonderful way of perpetuating pagan customs. But again, I didn't say it. I didn't say it. In a sense, Mac was saying, you know, isn't it wonderful that we can take pagan customs and use them to honor Christ? Now, if I'd remembered where it was at the time, which I didn't, I might have asked him what he thought about the passage in Deuteronomy. You probably already think of it, Deuteronomy 12, and we can go there. and be reminded of what God says about pagan customs or honoring him with pagan customs. As it was, I had to leave work, but I could have left him with something to think about. Deuteronomy 12, this is where God is giving instruction to the people of Israel as they're about to enter the promised land. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations that you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they even burn their own sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it. Even though I didn't have the time for an extended conversation with him, I came to realize that some people will honestly engage you and question you about your beliefs, and that I was not as prepared as I should have been. An appropriate scripture here would probably be 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3:15, actually. The Apostle Peter was probably not thinking in any context related to Christmas when he wrote this passage, and normally neither would we. But notice, 1 Peter 3, verse 15, I'll read first out of the New King James Version here, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. The New Living Translation states it as, your heart should be holy and set apart for the Lord God. Always be ready to tell everyone who asks you why you believe as you do. And then notice this, be gentle as you speak and show respect. We might adapt the passage to say, be prepared to give a reason as to why the hope that we have as Christians actually makes us want to avoid Christmas. And if the situation arises where we have to give an answer, speak gently and respectfully. With all that in mind, I prepared for myself, and I'll share it with you today, a sort of an orderly outline of brief, concisely stated reasons that I could use to answer the question in the future. And I wanted to be something that could be brought to mind quickly and would provide a framework that you could expand on if it was needed. So I broke it down to three basic reasons that I, as a Christian, did not celebrate Christmas, with potential ways to elaborate. Number one, Jesus was not born on or anywhere near December 25th. And to say he was is false. If the person doesn't question that or is already aware of that fact, you just go directly to point number two, which I'll do in a minute here. If they do question you, then you could mention two subpoints. I've got subpoint A and subpoint B here. Subpoint A, the Bible describes that when Jesus was born, the shepherds were out in the fields at night with their flocks of sheep, something which was not done in the late fall or early winter or at all in the winter in Judea, when it's often very cold and wet. I suppose if there's somebody Bible literate there, you could refer them to Luke, second chapter, Luke 2, I think verses 7 and 8. Subpoint B, Jesus' parents traveled to Bethlehem to register for the Roman census, which would not have been taken when the weather was cold or wet and the roads were in poor condition. There's actually a third reason, a part C. It's a little involved, and I won't take time to explain all the details of it here. However, there are calculations based on, I guess, first of all, the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, the timing of his temple service, and then the conception of his son, John the Baptist, and the six-month age difference between John the Baptist and Jesus. The result of these computations is that Jesus was likely born at the end of September. Again, probably all you'd need to say is that there is sufficient evidence to show that Jesus could not have been born on December 25th, and that we're uncomfortable perpetuating the false narrative that he was, if you want to make it sound kind of highfalutin. False. Well, I hear that a lot, false narrative. And that's definitely a false narrative. But point number two, the Bible instructs us to honor God with certain annual observances. But Christmas is not one of them. And if they doubt you on this, all you have to do is ask them to show you otherwise. And as most of us know, you can search the Bible in its entirety, and there's no scripture, no place where it says there's any instruction or example of celebrating Christmas. Now, depending upon the person's interests, could be mentioned that the focus on Christmas tends to downplay and even obscure the annual observances that God actually does instruct us to keep. Point number three, the Bible tells us not to honor God with any of the practices that non-Christians, you might say pagans, used in honoring their gods. And Christmas is full of very non-Christian practices. And if they need some justification for this, or if they're somewhat Bible literate again, you could refer them to, like we said, Deuteronomy 12. Of course, they might not be aware of the pagan customs associated with Christmas, and they might ask you, well, what non-Christian practices, what pagan customs? And you might have to point out that various winter solstice celebrations were consolidated into Christmas and were meant to honor the rebirth of the sun god, and also that many customs associated with, or you could say, Santa Claus, Christmas trees, mistletoe, Yule logs, wreaths, etc., all go back to pagan origins and were practiced long before Jesus was ever born. A few days after my conversation with Mac, it was December 24th, Christmas Eve, we had completed our early morning exercise class. It was one that Mike did not... Well, he's not quite as anonymous. Okay, he didn't attend. He did another class, but we probably still saw each other later that day. But anyway, just before everybody was set to exit the exercise room, one of the guys turned to face everyone else, and he shouted out, "Hey, before I go, everybody, Merry Christmas!" And I thought for a brief moment of shouting out, "Hey, everybody, I'm a Christian who doesn't celebrate Christmas. Do you want to know why?" I didn't. I wasn't being asked a question. It probably would have just come across as being kind of weirdly provocative. I suppose I could have said, "Drive safely." I didn't say that either. I was just silent, and nobody really noticed. But I've often wondered, what what is a good response to the Merry Christmas greeting? There probably is no best one response, and of course sometimes just silently ignoring it might be the best, might work in some situations. But I thought maybe a good response in some situations could be something like, I appreciate the friendly intent of your greeting, but actually, I'm a Christian who doesn't observe Christmas, and that's why I don't say Merry Christmas in return. It's kind of a mouthful, and it probably doesn't lend itself to all situations, but I think it is a message and a sentiment that we would want to project if you could do it in the right manner. The main focus of my message today, though, was to provide an easy-to-remember three-part outline to succinctly answer the question, why would a Christian not celebrate Christmas? And kind of a brief review, number one, Jesus was not born on December 25th. We don't want to perpetuate a lie. Number two, there's no biblical instruction to observe Christmas, whereas there is plenty of instruction to observe God's real holidays. And three, Christmas is founded on pagan customs, and God doesn't want us to honor him with pagan customs. And of course, we want to answer with a humble attitude. We don't want to come across as self-righteous, arrogant, or with an in-your-face sort of approach. So that's the outline I try to keep in mind. However, since the onset of COVID, of course, schools were kind of in-class learning at schools was shut down there for a while. I really didn't have any situations where I really needed to put my outline into effect until about a week and a half ago. I was subbing at Sprague High School, and between classes, I was out in the hall talking with a French teacher, and she asked me, are you ready for Christmas? Actually, I told her, I'm a Christian who doesn't celebrate Christmas. Oh, she said, and why is that? Here was my chance. But before I could give an answer, something interrupted and distracted us, and I couldn't give it. And I was sort of disappointed, at least enough so that I can't even remember what it was that interrupted us. And now maybe after the break, I'll see her again, and we can pick up where we left off, or maybe somebody else will ask me, did you have a good Christmas? And I can say, drive safely. I'm only kidding. You know the answer.